This is a message from sponsor Intuit TurboTax. You've sent so many emails to your tax pro and nothing. It feels like you're chasing updates. But now your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax expert, so you actually know what's happening. You can match with an expert and just hand off all your tax stuff to them right in the app. So instead of guessing, you can feel confident your TurboTax expert's on it. Now this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Visit TurboTax.com to learn more. Only available with TurboTax experts. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app.
This week on the program, we venture back to the aughts, to the magical time of direct-to-DVD sequels no one was asking for. It's White Noise 2, colon, The Light. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska 2, colon, The Light.
And Chris Cabin.
And we hate movies. Hello, everyone. Welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning into the fine program, as always. Yes, that's right. Listener Request Month, Soldiers On. We're talking, it's White Noise 2, colon, The Light from 2007, directed by Patrick Lussier. This dude has quite an IMDb.
I meant to look it back up because the name popped, and I was like,
because he did a great job here.
He did such a good job, yes.
A lot of previous episodes, I think. So check this out. I'm not saying all of these are previous episodes. This is most of his filmography. Prophecy 3, colon, The Ascent.
Oh, got nice. It.
Dracula 2000, previous episode. Excellent. Dracula 2, colon, Ascension. Dracula 3, colon, Legacy. Mm. Then this movie. Then the My Bloody Valentine remake.
Dracula the College Years.
Secret Nazi Dracula.
Dracula the Dentist.
Van Dracula.
And then he did Drive Angry.
Oh,
which did
we
do an episode on?
No, we didn't. We all saw it in theaters for some reason.
We did. I mean, Nick Cage, William Fichtner.
The mid-2000s, that's what you did. You got your friends together and you saw.
You went to go see an Amber Heard movie.
And sometimes your friend had a little acid and he gave it to you before a Nick Cage movie. And you're like, oh, that's cool.
Did that happen to you? Did you watch it on acid? Oh, yeah. Oh, good for you.
That's awesome, dude. But then after Drive Angry's three movies I haven't heard of, Trick, Play Dead, and Aftermath.
Those could be any movie.
Exactly. Exactly. And I believe this dude is now very comfortably, very successfully, I think, working in television.
There you go.
And it's not the Schwarzenegger Aftermath, or is it?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay. It's Aftermath.
Is that a newer Arnold movie?
It was one of the later ones.
I have to stay late and try to do the math problems on the board, like Good Will Hunting.
Oh, yes. 2017 Aftermath, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Nope, he did not direct the Arnold.
Okay.
I believe, is this his? Let's see, is this Patrick?
Thought that was just a janitor.
This is the Arnold movie. The Arnold movie was from 2017. This is from 2024 with Dylan Sprouse.
Oh, wow.
And
Mason
Gooding. Yeah. Dushan Lachman is also in this movie. A returning war veteran stricken with PTSD unwittingly gets trapped with his teenage sister on Boston's Tobin Memorial Bridge as a heavily weaponized group of ex-military revolutionists take everyone hostage.
Get down. They're after the Tobin Bridge.
It's a movie that just takes place on a bridge.
I hate that.
How do you like them apples?
What's that Sly Stallone movie that did that?
Oh, fuck. That
Daylight.
Was,
Daylight.
No,
the bad one, recent one. Armored was
Armored,
maybe?
I think, is an all bridge movie.
Yes. Oh.
You know,
Alarum.
Yes, that's what it was. Alarum.
Oh, the alarm's going off.
Arnold, the best part of my day is every morning I picked you up with Dunkin' Donuts. And I hope you're not there because you're such a genius. I want you. Every day I knock on the door and I hope you're not behind it.
No, not you. Not you. Don't do this to me. Don't do this to me, Robin Williams.
I stayed late and I did the aftermath while everyone was gone.
It would appear I've gone to see about a girl.
Oh, hey, Stellan Skarsgård, your life's work, all these math problems, they're so easy to me. They're bullshit. I'm burning them in front of you.
How do you like that apple strudel? How do you like damn apple strudels? There you go. Market print. Let's move on to the next one.
I wish you wouldn't do that every time.
Just got to do it all over again. Thank you. Thank you, Arnold.
I am truly a director at heart. I cannot help myself. This
movie, White Noise 2, colon, The Light, was requested by Luis from Tucson. Let's hear what he had to say.
Hey guys, this is Luis from Tucson. I'm calling to request White Noise 2, The Light, from 2007. The episode y'all did on the first one is one of my favorites, and I think this movie is in I Got It, by the way. It doesn't take itself as seriously as the first one, and while going from Michael Keaton to Nathan Fillion is a step down, Keaton was so snoozy in that first one, it's basically a wash. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, all right. I don't know about it, and I got it, by the way.
I think maybe. Probably.
You think so?
I don't know. Well, because I will say I was... I got stuck watching a little bit of White Noise like 4 years ago on hotel TV. It was like a bit of an ass mat. It was
that.
A real like, just go to sleep. And I did. It was like 30 minutes and I'm like, dude, just go to sleep. You're not even enjoying yourself that much. Just go
it's
to
sleep.
It's a bed
magnet.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I honestly don't know because it was funny. We were talking off the air about this. Eric was not on Boondock Saints 2 All Saints Day. Right. I was not on White Noise, and we're doing
so. This
the
listener
others.
Request month is sort of
filling
helping
gaps,
you guys fill
right.
in. Yeah, yeah, I see. Yeah.
I've never seen White Noise. I still haven't
well,
seen
it's
White
it's okay.
Noise.
It's not this. The weird thing, this is, it's not on IMDb. It wasn't on Wikipedia either. But I would bet real money on Kalshi and be an asshole by doing it. No, but I would bet money that this movie was written as something else. Someone looked at it and like, we could make this a White Noise sequel and change this,
sure.
change that. Because there's no electronic voice phenomena in the
there's
movie.
Not. And, no. and you know, this doesn't follow the same thing that the first movie does. And I will say, not to knock Fillion, because I like Fillion. I've always had nothing but goodwill for Nathan Fillion. Michael Keaton's just a more engaging actor.
Of course.
Yeah, sure, you know what
sure.
I mean? And you don't have the fat guy from Ace Ventura 2 in the second
yes,
one.
But
he's replaced by Katie Sackhoff.
Katie Sackhoff, Nathan Fillion. This is the Sci-Fi Network prom.
Yeah.
It's what you always wanted to see. It's your true. Favorites from Firefly and Battlestar are getting together, maybe.
Someone was saying they're gonna reboot that Firefly.
That's like the rumor right now. Like, there's some announcement at the time of this recording, you probably already know. In a couple of days at the time of this recording, I think mid-March, there's going to be some Firefly announcement,
really?
And nobody knows what it is.
And now is Whedon still allowed to work, or
I don't
his
know.
Sex crimes
he had a
up
secret
to
show on HBO for a little while.
What? Is that right?
What was really? It called, Chris? Like the Carnival of the Ballerinas or something? I don't even remember.
The Carnival of the Ballerinas?
No, I don't know. I don't have my phone in front of me now. It sucks.
Well, because we've moved on. Like, he was, you know, a sex criminal for a little bit.
Yes.
It now is that mysterious, maybe he killed a kid when he was a kid thing.
What? Oh. Is that how he got
beginning?
That was a while ago.
Yeah.
That was a while ago. What was that about? Is that how he got his powers?
He did some interview where he sort of like alluded to some sort of like pseudo Stand By Me-esque
Yikes.
Thing where like someone went down to a thing to see about a something and a kid died.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. And yeah. Steve, the show you were thinking of was called The Nevers.
The Nevers.
The Nevers.
Okay, it's
which
a natural thing. Yeah.
Nevers have seen.
Yeah. I want to say HBO, but it might not have been, but I believe
it is
it
HBO.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. It says Network HBO in 2021, then it says Network Tubi in 2023.
Oh, yeah.
Well, at least the poster on IMDb is an ad that has HBO Max all over it.
So, I think he just
original.
Moved on to that. But yeah. It's because this is not an electronic voice. There's a big, nice scroll, which I appreciate. Always love a scroll.
Absolutely.
To get you into the world of this direct to we have to just set the stage a little bit for the younger kids.
Yeah.
In the mid-2000s, around 2007.
All right. Should we should clarify my opening remark here if people don't understand.
There
yeah.
was just this surge of there's IP out there. We're not going to reboot it. We're not doing that. It's just low-hanging fruit IP that we could just make a sequel to.
Right.
Roadhouse got a couple.
Hollow Man
got
Joyride?
One.
Joyride?
Joyride
got
a couple.
Of them. I watched Joyride 2 the other day, by the
really?
Way.
Really?
How did that treat you
it
out? You
know,
say
Wrong Turn.
Wrong Turn a bunch.
There's like four Wrong Turn movies now. Yeah.
Wrong Turn.
Usually the more horror-y, but there was some action stuff too. Like there was just this glut of like, this is how we sell DVDs now. We could just
right.
slap the two on. I think a lot of them
it's
were.
It's all about deceiving dads.
Yes, exactly.
Also.
Oh, yeah, I love that first one.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, in big wince all around, Jeepers Creepers.
Oh, yes.
Yes, yep. right.
No, those are yes.
So those
two, at least two and three
two was
yes.
in. What?
Two was, I saw two in theaters.
Oh,
like,
God.
Idiot. Like an idiot.
After you heard of what that.
I was like 17. I don't know what was going on.
Give folks an idea, though. I just pulled up Wikipedia direct-to-video sequel. So
yeah.
I'll have to, because we're very specifically talking about the aughts here. I think
yes.
this is the direct-to-DVD. So you had things like 8mm 2.
Yes. Ooh,
sure.
30 Days of Night, colon, Dark Days.
Oh, there was that SWAT one that we did an episode on.
There was a
Firefight or something. Firestorm.
Firefight. Yep. Good memory.
Ace Ventura Jr., colon, Pet Detective.
Pardon me?
Yeah, that came out, dude. Absolutely.
Better not be a blowjob in that one.
Bachelor Party 2, colon, The Last Temptation. Yes. Backdraft 2. Just all of these, like, nobody was asking for them. And like Steve said, they are scripts that kind of came close to being franchise adjacent, and they were like, let's just tweak a thing here or there, and now it's Backdraft
2. I will say, at least from this test subject we're dealing with here, White Noise 2, these direct-to-DVD movies were better than the direct-to-streaming movies we've been getting.
Yeah, that is absolutely true.
Which I never thought would be possible.
It can be.
I always thought when these were coming out, I was like, that's the bottom of the barrel.
This has real production value. Like,
yes.
It looks like a movie that could have been released in theaters. It certainly wasn't.
I mean, like Lucia, like not everything here is an astounding achievement, but like Dracula 2000 is a real movie.
Yeah,
the My Bloody Valentine remake is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, so like he's a dude that can direct a movie.
We were a little pissed off. It's not Dracula 2002.
Yeah,
I do not appreciate.
I don't understand
that.
Why we felt the need to drop the year there. You know, in those other two movies. But
last night we were at the bar and they were playing a lot of nu metal, and we were just talking about nu metal movies. And we're like, oh, you know what we should do? We'll watch a dumb movie on a Friday night.
So yeah,
we should watch a nu metal movie. Dracula 2000 was in the running,
yeah,
but instead we watched Spawn, and I really wish we watched Dracula 2000.
Yeah, because Spawn is not technically new metal.
It was less. There's like a Marilyn Manson song in it, and like, you know, there's some bad techno going on. It just sucks.
It was a team up soundtrack. Mm-hmm. It was like the Judgment Night did this too.
Yes,
where like you get like an electronic artist and a rock and roller artist, and they make a song together.
Yeah,
I think in Judgment Night it's a rap bands and get like metal guys to do
sort of like
songs.
When Diddy did that fucking song for the Godzilla song.
With me, dude.
Good. He was playing that at his party.
Come on, all. Come with me. No, come on, guys. Yeah. Come with that.
Okay. 10, 9, 8, 7.
Oh, yeah. No, nobody gets to come. Everybody else come, and then I come last. It's my fucking freak
nice.
Off.
He Jared, comes on zero.
I am not seeing enough baby oil on you, buddy. Let's get some more on them cheeks.
Feels like I'm at a Diddy party.
So what you were saying about the text there, Steve, I wasn't court stenographer like Mr. Sisson.
He's got it.
But
I have it.
Do
you
have it? The most deaths happen in urban areas,
I was
by the way.
I was going to tell you guys this before we started recording, but I said I'd save it for air. Well, I was like starting the movie, walking across the house for a second, grabbing something. I look over, I see that this come up on the screen.
Four paragraphs.
I let out a verbal, oh boy. I went, oh boy, in my own house.
Hell yeah, you did, dude.
And then I paused everything to write it all down. Nearly 10,000 people die every day in the United States.
Sure.
The majority of deaths occurring in urban environments.
Hmm.
As such, a resident of a metropolis might encounter up to 1.7 people per day who will be deceased by day's end.
Wow.
That is from the North American Statistics Institute 2002.
Okay. Okay.
But the fun keeps going.
All right.
The next, you'd think the movie would start.
You would.
But there's another thing here. On average, there are 774 near-death experiences, parentheses, NDEs.
We call them NDEs. NDEs. We call them NDEs. We call them NDEs.
If you know them, you know them very well, you'll call them NDEs. Per day in the United States, so 774 near-death experience per day in the United States, during which a person is pronounced dead and encounters a blinding white light before being resuscitated. And that is from the National Center for Morality Studies, 1992. Morality Studies?
I don't know what that is.
Morality Studies.
But I think that, because this is trying to ape the first movie.
Or is that Mortality Studies?
Oh, that's probably...
I would imagine Mortality.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh,
I thought the church was telling me.
Because the first movie, if I'm not mistaken, explains what electronic voice phenomena is.
Yeah. Correct.
Which the white noise refers to.
Yes.
Which is just sort of like, oh, you know, an Art Bell thing of like, oh, people can hear, blah, blah, blah. You know?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I went on a tear on the first White Noise episode talking about my obsession with the promotional website for that film.
Oh, nice.
Because they were like, go to the, you know, whitenoisemovie.com or whatever it was, and you will be able to hear examples of this. And guys, when I tell you, I locked right in. I remember very specifically, I was still living with my parents. I had the headphones on. It was all dark in the living room. I'm in front of the big boxy computer. Let's watch and listen to some ghost videos. Oh, yeah.
I honestly, instead of all of that, and thank you, Eric, for getting it all down.
You're welcome.
But I think they should just explain to you, white noise is something that people put on to go to sleep. Well, it's very easy to just drift off to sleep while you're watching
I use it every night. I haven't heard a ghost talk to me yet.
Not just yet. It's just not you're sleepy.
But here you go. I mean, let's copyright. White noise 3, : the white noise machine. They're ubiquitous these days in a way that they were not in 2007.
The ghosts are giving you like post-hypnotic suggestion. Yeah. And you wake up and you start doing evil shit. Yeah.
Well, killer. Well, there's killer.
There's an evil ghost emperor, I assume, who is now
taken
over.
The ghost emperor is called the Lord God.
You take over a body of a tech guy and he's there's an app. Now we're going to launch the white noise app that's got on everybody's phone.
Yes.
Now it's 5 days from now.
This is a movie that would end, with someone yelling, turn it off. Tom Atkins is trying to pull a switch to get
like he's taking an axe to a server room in a skyscraper.
Yes, dude. Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah, we are going to write White Noise 3. Call it the app.
Consider it done. If you guys, I'm sure, a lot of heavy hitters listen to this show now, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you own the IP for White Noise,
we got a really good idea that can be a pretty cool direct-to-streaming concept.
But I think the 1.7 number seems high in terms of just me walking around, that guy's going to be dead.
But I think
1.5 of those guys is going to be dead.
Do you see a shimmering aura around them?
I do not.
That's what I think. They're putting that clearly fake thing at the beginning of this movie to justify the fact that, like, at every turn, seeing glowing people in this movie. Yeah.
He's seeing, like, 3 on a street at one point. I'm like, dude, that's too many dead people.
Exactly. Well, that's some sort of fucking Final Destination accident with that person.
This is very Final Destination.
Oh, big time. It absolutely... I think on Letterboxd I referred to this as stupid Final Destination.
Like, I wish it leaned into it more, actually.
Yep, absolutely.
More deaths? Yeah, that'd be great.
We start just with, like, Nathan Fillion being nice guy dad. You know these people are fucking... They might... To borrow a phrase from Boondock Saints, they might as well have toe tags on already.
Yes.
You know?
Oh, big time! Yes.
What I don't get is the wife giving him this present, this wedding gift or anniversary gift of 9 years, and it's engraved with 9. Just make it 10 years.
You just wait the next 10 years.
You're getting engraved gifts for 9,
and
what
then
are you
I
doing?
Look at 9, like what? No, 10.
Then you got to top that for 10, right? Yeah. You got to top an engrave a nice.
Well, it's gonna be a Rolex next time.
Seriously,
9 is a nice sweater and maybe a concert ticket if you really want to get fancy.
Absolutely, but you're totally right, though. Just make it 10 when you
write
the script.
When you write the screenplay, make it 10.
That's the tragedy of it, though, is that they don't even get to the double digits.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And also, I imagine, I think it's Longaninus or something like that, is like, I'm sure they were like, here's a little money for you to make your White Noise too. Why don't you just put our little beautiful watch here?
The watch company.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Very fancy.
Very clearly.
This little kid has the worst haircut I've ever seen.
It's like a botched bowl cut, isn't it? What are you saying? You're making fun of this kid's physical features?
No, I meant the ghost. The ghost didn't look good.
No, the kid's got like, it's like a botched bowl cut, though.
It's like
isn't
a Prince Valiant kind of a thing. It's got a swoop.
Out,
yeah.
There's a
swoop to it that's really unfortunate.
Disgusting.
We call those DSBs in the business?
In the industry, we call those DSBs.
In the urban areas, if you walk down the street, you might encounter 1.7 disgusting shit boys, or as we call them, DBSs.
And then actually, they're called DDBs, disgusting dead boys.
Nathan Fillion is Abe Dale, and yes, the wife, 9-year anniversary. There's something here that Abe Dale,
is he supposed to be 75?
I don't know. It's weird.
It'd be Abe Dale. I sleep in a barrel.
Yeah,
well, Larry the Cable Guy passed on this.
Oh, dude. Great movie.
Jingle All the Way, too. That was Larry the Cable Guy. That was one of the director's DVD no one asked for. Absolutely. Previous episode. The thing that the movie starts doing right here, and I don't think it quite clocks it. It forgets that it sets this up, but like, she's having weird headaches. You get the headaches, Abe Dale. And it sets up that like there's some sort of medical emergency festering maybe or something like that. This comes to absolutely
nothing. Well, no, it
doesn't.
She's getting possessed. It's the third day, you understand.
Oh.
She's starting to get maybe
to
possessed
go crazy,
by the devil.
That's the headaches. Okay.
Say what it is now for people.
Yes.
But I do think maybe you should watch this. It's kind of a good, bad movie.
I agree.
But Yeah, so in the third day or whatever, third day after you've been saved. Yes.
So if someone saves you from being killed,
yes. The third day you will be a mass shooter.
Yes,
you essentially.
Yeah.
You turn into an evil guy.
And kill other people for some reason.
And you say Triumera or you write Triumera.
Like it's a fucking the Manchurian candidate. Yeah, that's like the code word.
Good, exactly. Great. Yeah.
And Nathan Fillion goes crazy trying to prevent certain things. Like, also, who cares?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, okay, yeah, like, I saved someone and then they killed some, like, my business ended. Well, that's also, him now.
My thing, yeah, like halfway through the movie when he discovered, I would say it happens actually a little too late that he discovers this in the movie because like the movie kind of ends.
Yeah.
I would just be like, oh, okay, then I'll just stop saving people. Like, it sucks about those other people. Okay. You know what? If I see the aura, from now on, I'm just going to go on about my day.
I mean, I think the reason why he kind of keeps going is because by that point, by the time he figures it out,
it's Katie Sackhoff.
He wants to bang Katie Sackhoff.
Yeah. Sure, so just do that.
Tough situation.
But she's going to go crazy, dude, because he saved her.
It's called marriage.
I'm kidding. Special guest Al Bundy on the pod this week.
But it's great. She's having bad headaches. They're in this like picturesque yard. And then it's like, hey, you want to go get breakfast? And now we're in like Dennis's Diner or whatever.
Dennis's Diner, dude, which I'm stunned is still in business at the end of this movie. Because these events at Dennis's Diner are a closed for business.
It's the same waitress. She would absolutely quit. She would 1,000% quit this job.
Why? Because she saw, like, she usually serves scrambled eggs, and now she had some kid, their scrambled brains served towards her.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You might wait tables across town. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think you're moving home for a little while.
The fucking kid's DNA is still on you. Like, just so, fucking stop.
Order up.
Yeah, so now we have to say what happened backwards, like a Boondock Saints
scene.
So a guy walks in and shoots his wife and kid in the head.
The wife starts saying this Triumera. The son starts saying, you don't know what the fuck's going on. This dude comes in and he's just like, Mom, I'm sorry. And he fucking blows the two of them away in front of Fillion. And then just puts the gun right to his own chin and should have killed himself, by the way. This is a really dumb...
It's stupid.
He lives through the suicide attempt here.
Something to be thrown to the Moral Studies Institute that we were talking about in the beginning is the guy who blows... the killer who suicides himself, blood everywhere for suicide guy. The mother and the son, no blood.
We're very careful about the kid. Specifically, because the mother is like slumped over... The kid is just like peacefully in the corner, he's not spaghetti. Oh. You know what I mean? Like he should probably be spaghetti.
See, kids have clear blood. It's like water. You can't tell.
Oh, is that so?
The world of the movie.
Oh, I see. Yes, the poor
dear. He was just scared by the bullet, and that killed him. He had a little heart attack.
Oh, he had a little kid heart attack.
A little peaceful heart. Well, because it's amazing because they're having breakfast. And
Journey's playing.
Yeah, she's like freaking out a little bit. And then like, he's like, it's okay. She knocks over her plate of eggs. The waitress.
Dude, he just yells, can we get some fucking help?
Exactly.
Like, dude, first of all, your wife threw the plate on the ground. Mm-hmm. Don't be yelling at the waitstaff.
Well, because she's like collapsing. So I think it's like he thinks she's like having a heart attack.
But
he's
more concerned about helping this hot waitress pick up the eggs. I think he's moving on to the next piece.
He's like done with the wife. You think it would be like, can we have help here? Call the paramedics. No, it's about cleaning up the plate.
Can we get some more eggs over here, please? Oh my God, I'm so sorry for this. These hash browns are everywhere. Let me shut up. So you're trying to be like an actress, or how's that work?
Officer Mahdi, come over here. Yeah, we need help with these eggs. Can you get those pancakes too? Could you get that one? It's under the chair over there.
9th wedding anniversary.
Oh yes. Oh yeah. Well, you're a waitress. You probably got places to go. You know, why don't you take this watch? You'll never be late again.
Do you have MySpace or Facebook?
Friend me on MySpace.
So we cut to 3 months later, and Abe is lost in his grief and missing his family. He's talking to his buddy Marty here, played by Adrian Holmes. I know this dude from Star Trek Strange New Worlds. He's played an admiral on a couple of episodes. Okay. But this guy, most famously now, though, is the serious version of Uncle Phil on that Bel Air.
Oh, do we really still do that?
Or? I think it's ended now, but it lasted way longer than I thought it was going to.
Just Bel Air, right?
Just Bel Air is what it's called.
And what is this?
They made a dramatized reboot of Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
Oh, I would never.
Bel Air. I think it was on Peacock. Yeah. And it was like a serious drama concept of the same idea.
Interesting.
West Philadelphia, born and raised, but now it's all like we're serious and whatnot. Right. And so this guy from this movie plays like the serious version of Uncle Phil.
Huh. So it's not fun.
No.
It's not a comedy, at least. Right. Yeah, it's
dark,
very
gritty drama.
Yes, yes.
And that's this guy's not nearly fat enough to be Uncle Phil, unless he's fattened up, but I doubt it.
I don't think so. He's looking good. Admiral whatever the fuck, Admiral fat, April, dude. He's on Strange New Worlds, and he's just a fit.
Dude, James Avery was
one of our great fat actors.
Thank you.
Exactly,
everyone
dude.
Needs to get fatter.
So he's like watching old videos of the family and stuff, and you
classic,
see where this is going. You put on the home movies right before you're going to OD.
Do we know what Nathan Fillion's job is? Because we see it a couple of times.
He runs a company?
Where
they do job stuff?
Business of some degree.
He's in a room with one computer, and everybody else outside is with other computers.
It's stressful, you understand.
You see, you know that he's the boss because he's got a corner office, and then there's a floor full of people that are always looking at him. You see, and this could be a magazine.
Yep, definitely could be magazine.
This could be an ad agency. Mm-hmm.
architect firm.
He's
got the corner office, and his family got the coroner's office.
That's pretty good.
Did you say that at the water cooler? Hey, you hear about the boss's wife and son? So he's got the corner office.
Nathan Fillion is right behind him. Oh, thanks for that, Eric. Thank you. No, thanks.
I'm starting to glow because he's going to kill me.
But so he leaves this like suicide message on Abe's voicemail. Dude, you're calling your business partner about this?
No, it's an outgoing answering machine. He changes it to, by the way.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes, it is.
If you bothered to fucking check on me, I'm dead.
Oh my God. I thought this was a fucking phone call.
No, because Abe does call him, but it's the outgoing message is like, I'm sorry for what I had to do, but you understand I'm in so much pain, or whatever it is.
Thanks a lot, Marty. Oh, also, by the way, if this is the gas company, you can shut off my service.
Believe it or not, I'm killing myself.
Eating pills by the pound.
Well, I guess I'll leave the pizza by the door then. And, I don't know why you ordered this.
Yeah, I know your policy's 30 minutes. It's free. I'm sorry if you rushed, but you just leave it on the ground, I guess.
Yeah, I would also not bother leaving a message after the beep because I will be dead by the time you die. I just want to be clear about that.
You'll be wasting your own time if you leave a voice message.
Don't even bother saying your name or where you're calling from. I don't need any of that. I'll be dead.
What a drama queen.
Yes, a little bit.
You know?
Well, no, I mean, it's very clearly a cry for help because this will get people to save you. If you just left a note, you know what I mean?
Right.
Probably be okay.
Exactly. So Marty brings him to the hospital here, and this we see him being worked on the table, and this is where he has his out-of-body experience. To say kind of a nice thing about this movie, I liked the effect of him going up. I think the tunnel looked pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's looking into, which also, like, hilariously is, I think, where people get a lot of these, I see a light, is because you're looking up at the light of the goddamn, you know, the surgery.
The doctor's helmet.
Yeah, exactly. That's what the light was. And, you know, it's just like sort of a dream kind of.
But yeah, he's sort of like floating up towards it. He sees the wife and the son there and everything like that. And then.
Kid's got that haircut for eternity, by the way.
That sucks.
Bummer.
Oh.
Yeah. You're fucking going to heaven looking like that.
Can't grow that shit out.
Yeah. Do they have, like, Peter was probably pretty disappointed.
Some mousse or something
like that? Yeah, restyle it.
Gel.
Ectoplasm. You can just.
Oh, yeah. Because you're gross. You just. Wipe your ass with your hair.
Better. He's going to get some shit in Heaven High School.
Oh, Heaven High, dude. Yeah,
oh,
totally.
Shit.
Coming up after the game, it's Heaven High.
Yeah, it's exactly what you think it is.
Principal Peter is going to come and wrap the knuckles of the youngins of Heaven High.
You got a new student, bowl haircut, got shot in the face in a diner. After the game, Heaven High.
So he wakes up to Nurse Sherry Clark, played by Katie Sackhoff here. And, you know, you can tell she's alternative and fun because she's got fucking purple highlights in her
She's
hair.
A little too fun and flirty for the suicide ward, I would say.
Well, maybe she's there to give people the will to live.
Normally I'm down with like the pediatric unit and I'm fun Nurse Jackie or whatever, but I gotta be up here and I can't change my bit.
And
sorry.
She says her favorite movie of all time is Frankenstein.
Yeah.
It's Bride of Frankenstein.
Bride
is on the
of
television.
Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Here comes the motherfucking bride, man.
At the time of this recording, that's getting not great reviews.
I'm seeing it tomorrow. I'll find out.
But so Abe starts sort of like hearing stuff in the hospital. The TV monitors all sort of turn to white noise at this point.
Which is the movie, by the way, which the movie will not be the movie in like 5 minutes.
Right. But we have a little here and then we see a TV later and that's it. Right?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Pretty much. Now, I was realizing like this movie, the sound design is not great Because I had the subtitles on, and there's so many instances, including right here, where they tell you that you're supposed to be able to hear what various voices are saying, but you cannot unless you have subtitles on. Because right here, like when the
I did not have subtitles, I couldn't get any
stuff in the room, like starts fluttering around or whatever. There's like one of those like electric exit signs, and the lights flashing, and like as it's flashing, you're supposed to hear "Go away." Go away. But if I didn't have the subtitles on, it's just
Ghost. It says exit, not go away. But yes, you go out to go away through the exit, Ghost.
Because I believe what happens is in the first movie, Michael Keaton doesn't have an NDE, but he does, like, he's just trying to find his wife through the noises.
But he's got BDE, though.
He does,
definitely.
Always has.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
I think he similarly in that movie works for like a vague architecture firm
or something
like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we are introduced to a character that would go really well in an Eric Roberts Stalked by My Doctor movie. This is Dr. Karos. Dude, if I wake up in the hospital and my guy's there with a Hawaiian shirt on.
With a goatee and an earring?
Yeah.
Am I dead and am I in hell?
First of all, his name is Dr. Karras, which is a nod to The Exorcist a little bit.
Is it?
Yeah.
But why? There's no exorcism. Is this just the IMDb thing says that?
But his name is Karras. I mean, that's.
I mean, it's a spooky.
But it's like spelled differently. And I think he says Karos.
I heard Karras. I don't know if I'm.
I don't. I.
It was
I
spelled
don't think
in mine.
Reference.
It was K-A-R-R-O-S.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. We'll drop that. But he's dressed like a G.I. Joe villain. Like literally.
Yes.
He looks like. Because it's this, he's a big beefy dude with this like goatee, stark bald head.
Yep.
And he's got the Hawaiian shirt, but a doctor coat over it. Like, he should have a 3 ready-made machine guns next to him.
Absolutely. Yeah, and like a little robot guy that follows him around.
Exactly.
He can talk to him. He might be fucking it. We don't know.
Oh, he is.
But it's like, yeah, you look at this, and it's like, if like the wrestler Earthquake had a goatee.
Yes, exactly.
Like it's this guy. Yeah, I'd be like, I'm in hell, or like, could someone else possibly see me? And they must have known somewhere along the way, right? That like something happened and we got to turn him over to this guy. Cause this guy is the NDE like research expert at this hospital. He's got a whole wing dedicated to this shit.
Oh my God. You know what? This guy was also in Hollow Man 2.
Oh shit.
He's making the rounds.
Yeah. Oh my God. I got to see that.
That rocks.
But also like, so he's, you have fun, flirty nurse. He's just like, I hope you're okay. Bye. And then here comes big G.I. Joe doctor who's got this secret NDE project. Where is the social worker or the psychiatric evaluation for this guy who literally just tried to kill himself?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I guess that's usually why they keep you in the hospital afterwards.
You want to? I could tell you a ghost story.
I got a spooky, scary story.
That's the way. We'll heal you through ghost stories.
So you want some therapy or something? Let me show you the budget for this hospital real quick. So if you want to take a look, get your glasses on.
It's kind of surprising because, like, sometimes these movies have this and sometimes these movies don't, which is the vaguest, loosest reference to the first movie.
Yes.
And you figure right here, this guy is going to mention something about his buddy, the fat guy from Ace Ventura 2, who also got killed in the first movie. He was doing all this research. He befriended this guy, Michael Keaton, and blah, you know. This is the opportunity for it. It doesn't happen.
And he's still helping with the research.
Yeah, still to this day, right? He's just helping behind the scenes at this point.
After a ghost tornado kills him, I believe.
He is whipped up. A bunch of ghosts like whip around him and he just falls down dead. And that's how that movie ends.
Huh.
Yeah, it's a ghost tornado, man. It's very dumb. Oh. But yeah, so this guy's like, you're probably seeing all these auras. It's kind of a side effect from this experience, you know? It'll wear off in a couple days. So he's trying to go back to work like you do in all these movies.
Sure.
And he goes back to the work factory office where he does his jobbing. Mm-hmm. And this is where we're getting some glitches. And like, this is not, to me, this is not a horror movie. Insofar as like, it's not trying to scare you all that much. But we do have these lame, you're going to see a ghost's face
that's
in a TV really
that
quick.
That is scary.
Classic supernatural thriller.
Yeah.
Supernatural thriller, I think, is probably a better way to put this.
Bone-chilling horror.
And his good buddy is just like, hey, man, you know, you could take a couple days off from job factory work if you wanted, because you did just try and fucking kill yourself.
Absolutely.
And I literally saved your life from killing yourself.
And he's like, yeah, shut up. I'm hearing stuff and I have to go follow it. And he's like following. He's like, I got to go outside and get some air. He goes outside and he's hearing like voices or whatever. we got this mime here, like it's the opening of the conversation.
Yes.
You can't just have a mime in a movie. This mime has to be part of what's going on right here.
I agree. Bring him in.
The mime should have an aura around him.
You said.
All mimes are marked for death.
Right, and then you don't know what's going to kill him. Is it the fake wind?
Also,
he's going to get stuck in a box and suffocate.
No.
Maybe it is real wind. There's ghost tornadoes.
He does see a little girl here in a red parka or a red slicker.
From
the aura,
list.
And like, let's just not, is what I'm going to say. Let's just let's not. Don't look now. Don't try that shit. How about that?
Precisely.
Especially if your kid was not wearing any kind of red at any point, get the fuck out of here with
it's
that
so
shit.
So stupid. We're doing this red range. I could not believe it. I took a look at this.
Jaw dropping. But it's like dead central in this park.
Yes.
And my question is how long, so if I'm going to die tomorrow, or I'm going to die. 5 days.
Okay, can make that work.
When does the aura start sizzling off here? Is it a 48-hour aura?
I think it's when you're approaching your end, right? Like
within an hour.
Oh, so we're talking a couple. Yeah, okay. So
it was something about like by the day's end or something.
Okay,
like that.
So you
mentioned somewhere.
So you
maybe?
Wake up with the aura is the idea.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's a thing where like the brighter it is, the closer you are to the end.
Yes,
maybe.
I think that's right. Because when later the hobo gets hit by the tree.
Oh, he's glowing.
He's fucking like a Christmas tree, like a Roman candle.
Absolutely. That guy's ready to pop off one way or another. So he's following these staticky noises, which is a nice mix of static and like lion roars.
Remember, the ghost animals are out there too.
Yeah, that's true. We should see some fucking, you know, like dogs and monkeys and whatnot with bright lights.
It should be. But I guess because all religion says that actually every single animal except for us does not have a soul whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So therefore you will never
see a ghost of a dog. Aura. Yeah.
So stupid,
which I think is bullshit.
It's bullshit.
It's bullshit. Absolute bullshit.
So he goes back to the doctor and he's like, hey, man, I just saw all this weird shit out in the park. And the guy's like, well, your brain's fine. Nothing really to be done about that.
By the way, in between scenes, someone decided I needed to be quirkier, so now I like Elvis a lot for some reason.
His office, he's just watching Elvis movies or something.
Dude, you gotta stay alive for the Baz Luhrmann era, man.
And this hack is like, oh, this is my life's research. Like, there's no way this dude would be in a legitimate hospital, we're told here.
He's got a whole Resident Evil wing of the hospital with all these, like, TVs in it and shit. And I'm like, what is this?
Welcome to Raccoon City.
All in Canada, by the way. They're all up there.
That's right.
Oh. Yep.
I think he kind of knows it's a little bit of a grift because Nathan Fillion's like, so what is all of this? He's like, I don't know. And as long as we stay not knowing, the funding keeps coming. And I was like, I don't think that's how academic research works.
No.
As a matter of fact, if you're not producing, the funding goes away.
Also, I don't think you at this hospital this time have this Lucius Fox setup you've got here with 17 fucking screens just going with all different shit. How do you fucking, is there like a nurse or anybody who knows about this?
Yes.
If so, I'd be like, all of our funding is fucking going to
the
ghost project upstairs.
You never know when an old lady's going to scream in the static in between shots.
Sure.
That's what happens here, right? They zoom in on this Elvis footage and like some old lady screaming. It was probably just the audience member.
Someone excited for Elvis.
I would like to imagine downstairs is the pit and they're just like, we don't have any beds. We've got no beds to put these people in. No, you can send them back.
Shit, a network outage. Because they're running the ghost computers too hard.
You know, we could put like 7 beds in that room.
It's the EVP wing. Yeah. Nothing's going on in there.
Robbie's got like his head in his hands, like, and you just hear it from the back. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Crying all the time.
Get all this stuff out of here. You got to get this out of my room. What are you doing in here? Come on now. Get this out of here. Take that up to the EVP room. We can't have this down here. Get some of my nurses back from lunch. This is ridiculous.
Sorry, darling. I heard that you heard ghosts through your TV. I need you to go in the special EVP room.
Yes.
I'm going to take you very seriously here in the EVP room.
I'm not allowed to legally leave you alone in the EVP room. So I'm going to be with you the whole time. You tell me about the little old lady you saw in the Elvis movie.
And Chris, this is where we get the Elvis song, but it's slowed down. It's like, you know, creepy and haunted.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Just in the shots of the empty hospital wing.
Hell
and
just
like, nothing but
yes.
Crying all the time.
Right? Isn't that? It's so much better.
Cool.
So much better.
I like that.
We figured it out.
We did.
No,
we...
no, no, Abbott, you can't shoot ghosts, okay?
So he's telling him, so this command center that he's got is basically the fat guy from Ace Ventura 2 has this in the first one. Mm-hmm. And then Michael Keaton winds up like building his own as he becomes more obsessed with it is the idea. And yeah, he's like, here's all these detuned TVs. It's a thing where like you're 2007.
Mm-hmm.
TVs aren't doing the thing that you need them to do to make this movie work anymore.
No, right, the signal is different.
Yeah,
yes.
The whole white noise concept is donezo. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, we got it. Like, I detuned this TV. So
sure.
It's like, all right, man. Like, whatever.
But yeah, he does see one spooky ghost. He's like, oh, that's kind of fun.
And do you think there was like more ghosts back when, like, now that these TVs don't do this as much, like our TVs now, you don't really put them on static the way it used to be. Do ghosts stop trying to communicate through that then?
I think they gave
they
up.
Move on?
Yeah.
I think so.
Shit.
Yeah.
I guess we got to get on TikTok now. I don't know how to do that.
Oh, yeah. You better learn to dance, ghost.
Dancing, cooking video, movie preview, white noise static. Oh, my God, a ghost.
All right, maybe we should be going to China. Maybe that's making more of these in China. And also, honestly, guys, listen, it's just, AI is the future. We got to get into I don't want to do it any more than you, but we're going to get into ghost AI.
Kevin, stop bringing up CB radios. We're not going back to those. Nobody fucking uses them anymore. No one's going to hear us out there. Idiot, Kevin.
It doesn't look like shit. It doesn't, okay?
You just want 12 weirdos out on the highway to hear us. That's not cool, Kevin.
AI would impress them. All those ghosts born in like 1919.
Yeah.
Something.
Oh, wow. Pretty impressive.
Wow, look at that. Well, I don't have to think about making my own grocery list anymore. Wow, the future's great.
Oh, my God. Man. Are people doing that?
Oh, of course they are. Yeah. Hey, smart fridge, look and tell me what I need and have AI make a grocery list for me because I can't function as a fucking adult.
Cool. AI is excellent. It's convincing all these people to kill themselves, making more ghosts for us.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, another wacky detail about this doctor, so you know he's real fun.
Uh-huh.
He's wearing a ring that says TCB because this guy's taking care of business.
Oh,
dude,
fuck
don't
yeah.
fucking worry about it.
That's an Elvis thing, TCB.
What is that?
That was his slogan, TCB, take care of
Oh, that was an Elvis thing? Jesus. I thought it was a fucking BTL rep. Yeah.
No.
Oh, Elvis was
taking care of business. Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah. See, I know nothing about Elvis. I don't have anything against Elvis. It's just I don't know anything.
I only know
Elvis.
That my brother-in-law is really into Elvis and he's got TCB everywhere. So
Elvis guy,
that's cool. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's wearing this ring that is also Elvis affiliated. But yeah, so he's like, so Abe is telling him, look, this is what's going on. This is what I'm seeing. This and the other thing. And the dude is just like, oh, well, I think this is where our connection to the first movie ends, my friend. Yes. Because you are just a conduit for the stuff that my little Elvis TV is doing.
I thought like when this stuff was popping off towards the end, this guy would come back and bring Elvis ghosts.
Oh, wow.
Through the TV.
Hell
Elvis
yeah.
comes out and
That'd
saves
be awesome.
The day, right?
Has anyone seen the Baz Luhrmann concert film? It's supposed to be a lot of fun.
Not yet. I do want to see it.
It looks really cool.
You got to get to theaters to do it, or else it's kind of not the, you know, that's the whole point.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. It
doesn't work at home?
I would imagine not, right? Well, it works.
Well, yeah.
It works, but I mean, to see it like on IMAX would be pretty cool.
The way
cool
to do thing. That.
But so he leaves this hospital. He sees, by the way, you should point out our big fat party animal doctor here. He himself is glowing. And
oh, yeah.
So then like he leaves and he goes back and talks to Marty for like 2 seconds. Nothing seen. Then just immediately goes back to the hospital. This is a terribly edited movie.
Yes.
Goes back to the hospital. It's supposed to be the next day. Yeah. And he's like, oh, I'm here to see doctor taking care of business. And the lady, like the nurse starts crying.
Yeah.
And this dude like dropped dead of a heart attack that very night.
Most Elvis fans do, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, sat down on that toilet and checked out for good.
Having one of those sandwiches, right? What was that? Peanut butter, banana,
peanut butter,
bacon,
yep.
Lard, table scraps.
dog food.
old cigarette butts.
I think it was litter. Banana... bacon, and peanut butter, and then you fried it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's butter. Crazy that that guy died young.
No, he didn't. Not that's a secret. He's fucking a pill
he's
popping
alive.
Fucking obese man
no.
couldn't possibly die young.
He's alive on Mars right now. Uh-huh. I believe it in my bones.
Oh, it's hot up here.
So, you know, he sees this newspaper headline. This is what it is. He starts putting it together. He sees a newspaper headline. The woman that he saw glowing in the park was murdered in gunfire, like crossfire from a gunfight or something.
Well, it is America, so. Mm-hmm. Or supposed
That's
to
completely
be America.
Completely fair, yeah.
So that checks out.
Yeah, so he's like, but
I guess what if I do know if people are going to die? And that sort of like sets in motion what's going on here. Because
then he goes for a run at night, which is when you want to go on old bridges. I mean, I guess he's still suicidal. So it's like, you know what?
Sure, he's going up there testing fate every night.
And he sees an old hobo, right? This is the next thing, is the hobo.
Yeah, because he quickly sees, like, there's a little girl.
A slicker. It's
a montage here, and he sees the girl, and he's, like, sad about it because he knows what it means. It's kind of a nice moment.
Yeah.
There's the nasty bicyclist that's asking for it the whole movie.
Oh, right, and this guy gets a lot of play as a ghost. He's like lead ghost.
Because he's got a good glare.
Yeah.
The actor's got a really memorable glaring at you.
Yeah.
So I think they just knew to reuse that guy
ghosts
and the audience would
love
recognize
him. Dirty looks.
And
they love just fucking looking down at you. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It is just a deluge of sounds. It's the lion roaring. It's like a whale mating call. an old car horn. And then the EVP life stuff, coming in there. But it's really going up in these scenes.
This hobo came through like a dimensional rip from like 1950. Like, this is like your classic cartoon hobo from Disney times.
Well, he doesn't have a bindle. I was looking for a bindle.
Cart.
He has a shopping cart.
Shopping cart, but he's got like a floppy hat and everything. Yeah, whatever.
It's pretty great. But this is a funny moment because he's on this bridge and he sees the guy. And the guy is like trying to get his little cart over the tracks and he's stuck or whatever. And there's a really good Nathan Fillion. You've got to be kidding me.
He's got Aurora Borealis coming out of his ass, this guy.
Yes. He really does. Like, this guy is glowing out of every orifice here. It's fantastic. And wouldn't you know it, the dude's foot is caught there and he cannot get to him in time. You see this guy be decimated by this train. Great. It's pretty great.
You don't really see anything. He just gets so bright, it like overtakes the screen, and it looks like he flies away.
It's like when the DeLorean goes through time. Right. It's that the blast of white light.
What I think happens, he gets kicked up, but then it's not high enough, so then it hits him again.
Yeah.
Because the way Nathan Fillion's looking is he's looking down, so he saw the body clearly went back on the tracks.
Well,
at
he's
some
on
point.
The ground at that point.
But
though.
The ghost goes up. Not like a weasel in Roger Rabbit.
I see. So it's kind of like when Brad Pitt gets hit by that car and Meet Joe Black.
Downward trajectory on the second hit.
So this dude just gets absolutely fucking rocked.
Wouldn't you just throw up if you're a Nathan Fillion? I know you've seen a lot of death lately, but somebody getting nailed by a fucking locomotive, oof.
And the smell of
the
that?
The smell. It's got to get, you're getting some on you. Maybe some in your mouth, possibly.
A little splatter. Tastes like dead homeless guy.
I'm not sure if that's the limits of Fillion's abilities versus just what the director wanted, because it is, he's just really upset.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh man.
Yeah.
Fuck. Oh.
So he goes home and he wakes up thinking someone's in his house, but he's hearing more voices and he grabs his baseball bat. And I was like, you know, fight a ghost with a baseball bat, dummy? Yes. What are you doing right here? And I think, this is the ghost of the homeless guy in the house.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
Oh, is it?
Because this can rolls out.
Oh,
and he was like can bottle guy.
His calling card, a ghostly can. So when you die, like your accessories as well. Like,
exactly.
Your
so
watch,
when we die,
your ring,
a
your
microphone's
can.
Gonna like roll down the street. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But yes, he looks like, that's a funny unmarked can in my kitchen. And he turns and the guy's like, bruh.
Yeah.
Just like right there.
Why would you do that? He was trying to save you. Blah.
Fun moment from Nathan Fillion here, because he's a funny guy. He picks up the phone. He's like, hey, Marty, you okay for a visit right now? And his friend's like, yeah, obviously you're my friend that's in real trouble. So sure, come on over. He's like, how about right freaking now? It was just kind of funny.
Yeah, totally. Like, I guess, dude, sure, come on over. So on his way there.
Yep, the night is young.
Dude, he just drives by this old timer trying to change a tire on this like old ass orange VW bus.
Dude, I am not saving this old bastard.
No way.
The first bit of lip I get from this guy, I'm like, all right, have a nice night, asshole.
Yeah, you know what? Go fuck yourself, sir.
I'd help it happen quicker, like direct the traffic into him.
Because he's,
I don't need some dipshit kid telling me what to do. Take your metrosexual ass back to your yuppie car.
What?
Have a nice night, sir.
Yep. All right. Exactly.
Have a sweet day.
Enjoy then, hell, old man.
See, this was what, 2002 or
seven?
Back then, we would say metrosexual as a big negative thing.
Mm, yes.
Nowadays,
man, the metrosexual craze. It
was a moment in time.
Really was. And it just meant heterosexual dudes that took care of themselves.
Wait a second. That's you're wearing a shirt without a mustard stain. All right, metrosexual.
Whatever metro. Oh, what's that? Use shampoo in the shower, did you? You little metrosexual.
Oh, what's that? A belt on your pants instead of an extension cord? Okay, metrosexual.
Dee da, Mr. Clean Fingernails.
Exactly.
Oh, what's that? You fucking managed to wipe your ass and not get scutters on your underpants, metrosexual.
Oh, you're trying to lower your fucking heart disease risk by going to the gym, metrosexual.
Exactly. Just one of the dumbest Spike TV products of the time.
I had a female boss call me metrosexual.
Wow.
Because
It
was the one day you went to the office without mustard stains on?
I guess so.
What was the context? I was, hey, metrosexual.
Basically, I was sexually harassed at Lifetime.
That's
Eric's of all the places.
Yeah, what?
Of all the places to be sexually harassed at Lifetime.
They turned the tables.
You were the wrong office assistant, dude. How about that?
Did she look like Demi Moore, or was it?
She looked like Demi Less. Okay.
Come on now.
Uh-huh. Lovely woman.
Lovely.
This dude, Philion's like, hey, man, it looks like the car's not really on that jack too well.
I'm just getting some lug nuts. Leave me alone.
I'm dropping my lug nuts under the van like any God-given American's right to do so, motherfucker.
Full tires are for metrosexuals. Flat tires are for real heterosexual men.
Oh, man, you got where you were going safely, metrosexual.
And this guy comes up to really yell in his face, and as he's doing it, he gets rear-ended by somebody.
Yes.
Which would certainly have killed him, and the world would have been a better place.
I owe you my life.
Yeah,
he's pretty quick
does.
To say
he
that.
Does. Yeah. He's this Phil Donahue looking motherfucker.
He does look like Phil Donahue, yeah. Doesn't he?
The glasses and the hair.
Yeah.
Coming up next, EVP. Yeah.
Oh, well, he definitely did it.
Several, I would imagine. Yeah, with this power, I imagine once I figure out what's going on, I'm looking for younger, people who shouldn't be dying, like a four-year-old, 10-year-old.
Exactly. I'm following that kid around all day. Yeah,
I'll try to save them.
No, I promise he's going to die at some point. That's why I followed him to this playground.
He's glowing. Oh, yeah. God. Kill him.
Never mind.
Take the shot.
Save Katie Stackhoff. That's it.
Yeah.
No one else.
It's a good meet cute. Saving her from violent rape murder. Yeah, for sure.
That's right. So, he realizes what's going on, and he's like, you saved somebody's life tonight. Like, he's talking to himself in the mirror. And then in an odd move, fit for no one other than a serial killer, he makes a notch in the wooden frame of this bedroom mirror. What is that?
Just keep it count.
I got
your soul is mine.
Exactly.
It's the worst line of the movie. I don't know if it's right here, but it might be right after. It's kind of like a nothing scene where he tells Marty what he could do. He's like, I can save lives. I have the power to see the future or see who's going to die, and I can stop them. And he's like, that is some superhero bullshit. That's some Captain Tight Pants stuff.
Yes.
Which is a reference to Firefly very directly. Like, he was called that in the show.
Really?
And people, like,
that was a metrosexual thing.
No, the online community loved calling Nathan Fillion Captain Tight Pants. They probably just stopped doing it last year, right. And now they're going to start again.
Ugh. And, that show made so many people fucking horny, man.
It did.
Firefly?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I never watched a second of it.
I remember it being a good show.
I don't care much for that Adam Baldwin.
Yeah, that'll do
right.
It.
Yeah.
Internet toilet.
Internet toilet's all over that fucking
show. I watched
show.
Like the first couple episodes, and I'm like, this is okay, and it just never got me where
I never
wanted...
watched the entirety, but I definitely watched the movie, which I thought had some good moments, yeah.
People like that movie. I was always like, you know, I'll watch the show, then I'll watch the movie. And
right.
I think at this point I should just watch the movie.
What are they, like space pirates or some shit?
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
Space
smugglers, your Han Solo-y kind of deal.
Gotcha.
Like an empire, and there's like a Borg-esque kind of thing, too. Yeah, it's got it all.
Oh. This is where he saves the bridge dude right here.
Yes.
He sees a dude.
These kids are going to hell tonight.
Oh, my God.
So like, it's a guy and a girl, like, you know, kind of like probably work friends. He's trying to work up the courage to ask her out.
Big
kind
time.
Of a deal.
Yes. Yep.
And like, they're just standing on the side of a bridge, many bridges in this movie. And
sure.
The girl is like kind of flighty and like, I think spills coffee on these.
She bumps into this dude and gets her coffee all over him.
Bumps into Alex and his droogies.
Yeah, seriously.
And
these marauders.
It's fucking crazy. Cause it's like, the guy says like, you could make this up to me right now. Pick up some overtime in my hotel room.
Yes, totally. Because she says something about, like, I got to get back to work. Let me make this up to you some way. Overtime.
And he's like grabbing at her.
Yeah.
And this guy's like, hey, man, let's just not rape a woman in public in the Middle East.
Get your damn hands.
Stomp him! And yes. They start stomping this guy, and then they try to throw him over the bridge, throw his whole body. They're trying to murder this guy for trying to help this girl.
Amazing. Like, this is a level of shit kickery.
These are just a couple guys walking down the street that are casually wanting to commit rape and murder.
Mm-hmm. In broad daylight. Like, again, yep. They're not
it's
even like
2 o'clock in the afternoon.
They're not even like, you know, which would be old hat, but like if they were in biker gear or something, sure. Like, oh, those are bikers. Yes. Look out for, like, they're just regular looking guys.
Yeah. Or if they were in like all white suits with the codpiece on the outside, just normal looking
these
dudes,
kinds
you know.
Of things.
And there it's just like jeans and t-shirt guys, like 20-year-old guys.
So Fillion runs up and tries to like intervene. They throw this dude over the side and then Fillion is like reaching down to save him is the ordeal. And he does like get him back up.
The lesson of the movie is you should have let this guy be thrown off this overpass by these guys and die.
Yes. Yes.
Because he might maybe go evil in 3 days.
Because you're interfering with death's plan. Well, this is the final destination of it all.
That, I guess, is my question. Is it something? Does it have to be that where I see the light? Or if, like, I don't know, if like me and Eric are walking and Eric's not paying attention, I just, oh, hey, man, you were about to get hit by a bus. And like, pull him back.
3 days, I will commit murder.
That's my question. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
I think it's
anytime, oh, man, that egg would kill you with cholesterol like 3 days later.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe it's based on like the guarantee that it's going to happen in that moment, or something like that.
Sure.
Or if you're possessing the cheat code of seeing the light.
Right.
That's the problem.
You got to learn to button up, even if it is like
right there.
You know, it's you're about to be sideswiped by a bus. Like, I just got to let it happen.
You see God's plan a little bit. You're looking at the next page. You're not supposed to do that.
So after saving that dude, we are back to the fucking dresser, and he's just got notch number two, and he goes, playing God for another day.
What the fuck,
notch
dude? You know what? He's also jacking it and reveling
definitely.
In it. Yes.
Probably.
What? This is psychosexual shit.
Tonight, it's a meat lovers for me. I've earned it. I've earned it today. Two lives still on the block.
There's a shine on me in the mirror. All right, one less slice.
Meat likers. I'll have a meat likers.
So he goes back to the hospital, I think, to check in on the kid.
Yes.
And he asks Marty to meet him at the hospital just to give him the file and like all the information on what happened to his family.
Yes, because Marty's been holding on to it. I think there might be a dropped line. I think their job is something to do with the news.
With this file.
Yes.
Because he says he's been like saving all of these clippings and any reference to the events or whatever. Yeah,
but it's like it's laid out like the office in Brazil. Just a bunch of people with typewriters and like
with paper everywhere. Yeah, just paper flying through this room.
I'd like to see someone disappear into newspaper.
Yes.
That's sort of ghostly.
It's quite ghostly.
So he starts hearing like things over the hospital PA. And he's like, oh, another person's in danger. And I was like, if there was ever a location where you shouldn't have to really concern yourself with your ghost life-saving powers, it's at a hospital.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that doctor knows what's going on with that heart attack. You don't need to intervene there.
Well, maybe it's a bad doctor, you know?
I guess that's true. But this is where he follows Katie Sackhoff.
There's a bad elevator scare that does nothing. It's like some scare, like,
the door opens. There's just another ghost there for no reason. He's like, all right, noted. Thank you. I'll be on my way here. Yes, it's a spooky lady jumps out of the elevator. You're right. But yeah, so he follows her down or whatever. And this is where she is attacked by this dude who's waiting. Like, she sees a van with the door already open.
Yes,
and you're like, rut-row.
Need help moving a couch?
Yeah, exactly. And then this dude attacks, and this is going on. Fillion intervenes right here. But this dude just, like, gets away.
Yeah.
Never mentioned again. There's no police report filed.
Oh, they caught him. Oh, I got his wallet. His name is whatever. Yeah.
Yep.
Only hospitals had cameras all over them. Oh, man, it would be great.
When will they learn?
The fight with this dude, like, Fillion does kind of have a good fight with this dude.
Sure.
That's, like, kind of the only, like, sort of worthwhile thing. She takes him back upstairs to fix him up.
And she goes from fun and flirty to nuclearly horny very quickly.
Absolutely.
It's an upgrade.
And we are sharing grief tales here because she mentions how she is a widow. Her husband has recently died of, you assume it's, you know, some sort of prolonged disease or whatever.
It's a heart attack, and he was working on this Elvis project.
Oh, man.
You were married to that guy?
Oh, man. Yeah.
What? We have to end this conversation.
Right. It's like if she dated Newman type of thing.
Well, he really did take care of business, didn't he?
Well, no, she was married to Jack Black in the School of Rock, it seems.
Yes.
It's like, oh, he's a music teacher, but he liked the cool stuff.
Yeah, he Bowie. Was always having them, yeah, do like pop music and rock tunes in the choirs, the recitals or whatever. And she's like, and I still do it every year to memorialize him or whatever. And I was like, that's kind of weird.
She gives him a flyer, which is like, come on, let's fuck, man. Let's do just
flyer for fucking.
And I think for Katie Sackhoff, this is like, she's in the middle of doing Battlestar Galactica. It's very Starbucks. This is like opposite of Starbucks. Yes. Like, I am a fun and flirty nurse and not.
Because Starbucks was like a serious kind
serious of, brassy cigar smoking, punching dudes out. Like, this is not that cool character. She's very much like, I could do other stuff, maybe. Right.
He goes home. Oh, the big thing from that whole kerfuffle is the anniversary present was broken. The watch was busted. Yeah. So he goes home and puts that. It's like his collection of lives saved notches and then a photo of the dead wife and child. And he hangs the watch on the photograph as like, well, I guess it's your problem now, honey. The present's broken, I guess.
I also don't know how that watch is staying up. It's on a mirror and like
it's just hanging off a photograph. Yeah, I don't know either.
Ghost.
The weight of it. Oh, ghost.
Wife's hand is holding it.
Sure.
Then he's also still watching the wife footage.
He's watching home movies. This is where he gets because like the kid is filming.
Dude, the kid gets a brutal burn on him in this. Right?
Oh, that's right.
Like, he's like, hey, Dad, you're fucking short. Remember this?
The mom's like, is Daddy short? Like, yeah, Dad's fucking short.
Yes. And then Nathan Fillion clearly heard is like, well, short people have thicker skin because it's not stretched out all over them.
Oh, wow. I don't even remember that.
Yes, dude, it's brutal.
And I'm like, if you think Nathan Fillion is short, wait till you get a load of me.
Now, son, I'm a short king. You understand that? A short king. You listen to me.
It's the motion of the ocean. What does that mean, Dad? Shut up.
Was this kid blind, though? Nathan Fillion's tall as fuck.
Yeah, he's a famously tall, handsome man. I thought.
Yeah, you think I'm short, kid? Well, you know what I did? I fucked your mother. How about that? I might do it tonight, too.
No. This kid just starts crying.
No.
But in these tapes is also the kid is filming in the backseat. It's actually some more dad ball busting because it's like, oh, yeah, here's this present or whatever that you got, Dad. Does he know what it is? Yeah. Maybe not because he's a fucking moron or whatever. Yeah. And whatever that is going on, they're about to drive through an intersection. This guy comes, the guy who murdered them comes out of nowhere and throws himself on the windshield and is like, no, stop. And then a car blows through. They would have been T-boned and killed.
Like, thank God your kid's filming every second of life.
Exactly. And this was a little bit before the like fucking family YouTube blogging living on the live streams.
Are there family YouTube blogs?
Oh, dude, what?
I can start looking at family.
Dude, there are.
Yes, you
there's
can.
A whole
really? Yes, you can.
Industry.
The Red Dragon.
Yes, I was going to say Manhunter. Thank you.
I'm going to eat a William Blake painting and pick a family at random.
Get some dude in a wheelchair, set him on fire, throw him down a hill, the whole deal. Yeah.
Yes.
No, there is a whole, Eric, there is a whole cottage industry of parents who put their entire family's lives on YouTube to make money off of it.
I could watch it all.
And I have this image of Eric getting in a tree to watch family. God damn it. Fuck.
If there was a better way I could watch families than peeping through fucking windows.
Oh my God. Well, I had no idea.
There's even documentaries about that shit going horribly wrong.
Of course, because it would have to.
How could that go wrong?
Well, they turn into the Red Dragon themselves. Yeah, they don't even need outsiders coming in.
Yeah. So then he's like, oh, what the fuck? Like,
he has a freak out because he has a supercomputer where he could like screen grab this guy's face.
This
and
is
then
some fake technology. Yes, you just don't have this at your fingertips. In
Am I wrong? He's doing like he's actually even doing like touchscreen stuff too later with it. Am I nuts?
I don't remember any touchscreen stuff.
Oh, no, I'm mistaken that.
I remember him just being like, here's the outline of this face.
Yes.
And now computer, search the internet for this face.
Enhance. And then he also.
A lot of enhance. Yeah.
And then the
computer used the Patriot Act to cross-reference this with every ID.
And he has like a shit freak out and all the printed pages start coming out and it's this dude's face all over.
Over and over again. Yes. Yeah. He's also getting like electrocuted by screens here and there. What is that? Like, there's an old lady ghost. Like, she comes out of the computer screen and like electrocutes him, and he's like kind of having like a ghost heart attack for a second.
They never marry the EVP stuff, which is white noise with the light. You know what I mean? It's white noise and the light, not white noise and colon the light.
Right. So he goes to see the widow of this dude that murdered his family.
She's like, oh, Jesus, it's today. I knew it was going to happen.
She's like already like waiting for him, like, you know, what took you so long kind of a deal. And, you know, she explains, oh, Henry, the husband here that killed your family, he also had a near-death experience. He died 3 or 4 times on a table that night, like before they brought him back or whatever. And then after the events of that, he thought he had this kind of precognition. He thought that he could save people. It's just Nathan Fillion being like, oh, this is my movie too.
Yes. He started having weird theories, weird ideas of life and death.
Sure. Yep. That sums it up perfectly, actually.
Did he finally, you know, get over it all and then have sex with a lot of hot women afterwards? or what happened to the fella? What? Oh no, he's alive.
Yeah, that's the whole fucked up thing. So we learned that this guy came to believe if you save somebody's life, you're responsible for it, which is a real fucking fortune cookie message.
So did he not know that the guy that killed his family and then survived? He did not know that he survived.
He did not know that the guy survived.
How could that be? Isn't he like institutionalized probably for the crime of killing your family?
Yes, legally.
Did you not follow your own family's fucking murder?
Well, that's the whole weird thing is how he's been telling this Marty friend, like, I don't want to see any of the stuff. Just collect it for me for later. So, like, maybe he has successfully like put his head in the sand that hard, I guess.
2007 is easier to unplug, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's true.
He's also, it's your classic movie trope of like, here's the creepy big room. I'm the owner of the house. You just go in there and do whatever you want.
Because I don't want to be associated with this crazy shit. If you want to take the whole room out at this point, I don't care. Yeah, take whatever you want. I do like, and again, it's for a different, eerier movie, but when he's doing the research right here and all the monitors start turning on and all the dust covers fall off on their own, that's kind of a nice little spooky, scary thing for
it's
a different movie.
It's also a little too late for Bible shit in this movie. Like, there's a ton of Bible shit coming at you.
All of a sudden, I'm seeing him with this Bible, and I'm just like, what? No, not now. No, 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 no.
I didn't appreciate the Laces Out poster. I thought that was a bad taste.
But yeah, so he goes to see this dude. Henry Kane is the name of this character.
Nice fake name.
Yes, big time. And he's in this institution. And this guy is like, you're here to see Henry Kane. Yeah, the weird guy. He sees dead people.
Right.
And like this guy's movie. Doing, you remember that movie from a few years ago? Well, this guy's the real deal. And he's also got the line like, this guy's never going to see the second inside of a courtroom. He's crazy forever.
It's like, no, they usually have the court case no matter what, even if he is bug nuts crazy.
Well, if you're not standing trial, though, it's not the same kind of case. Yeah. I don't know if they'd like bring him there, but anyway, I guess say, like, he won't be tried for it.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mac, he ain't going to be tried for killing your family, you see. He's too nuts. So they just have this thing, and it's this guy, and wouldn't you know it, half of his fucking face is blown off.
He puts this gun underneath his chin, and you see stuff.
It goes against the ceiling of the diner.
Well, you know, that was extra stuff he didn't need.
He got a hole in his brain. Not a big deal.
Yeah, it's fine.
But he basically says, like, you can't shut these voices out. If you save somebody, you're responsible for them.
Save must kill.
If you save, you must kill. If you save, you must kill.
I don't
if
think that's save. Right.
No. I mean, I'm not saving anybody. So then that's
no, not
that's,
at all. Yeah. So now Nathan Fillion has to think he has to go and kill people he saved. Is this around the time we see what happens with the old man with the VW?
Yes. Buff? Well, no, that happens when
she drops by the house.
Katie Sackhoff comes by the house. She's like, you want some bad wine? And he's like, oh, I guess I have to have sex with Katie Sackhoff.
He was all like, I'm married, actually. Yeah. So, no. It's like, come on, dude.
She's like, hey, man.
You're not married.
You're not, you know, come on. Mm. Come on.
But
come
she's on. Like, hey, let's do, you know, we'll be partners. I'm in grief. You're in grief. They have a nice little drink on the water kind of thing.
How does she know where he lives, by the way?
Hospital.
I think we're peeking through some records, aren't we?
Yeah. She's that thirsty, dude. And the bad wine joke we keep doing. Oh, this wine is really bad, and wine is bad.
And she says something about like, I paid like $2.50 for it. I was like, first of all, like that's not real. Like, yeah. That's not an act. That's never. No. But like, can we stop? Yeah. Like, how bad could it be? You're not drinking Pruno by the river here.
And also, like, if you're trying to, if you're trying to get this guy's attention, put some effort into it. Spend $20 on a good bottle of wine.
Exactly. Maybe come over with some tequila. Yeah, I don't know. Pull a supernova, get some pear brandy in there.
We'll drink this bad wine together, and then you can drink my pussy up. You can drink it right up.
That is a fine.
Drink it up.
A fine wine right there. Yeah, of course. Yeah. But then that's not $2 chuck.
No, it's not.
We go to another bar. Now this is some sexy pool playing here.
Oh my God, dude. Yes. Is it not? She's like, oh, nice shot. And she's like caressing his hand on the counter of the table.
You know, that felt good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, dude. It's some sexy shit.
You want to? I've been seeing white lights. You want to see a white light?
What does that mean?
But she kisses him in this moment.
Yes.
And it's nice. Uh-huh. And then she's just like, oh, I'm sorry. Like that was inappropriate or whatever. And he's kind of like wishy-washy on it. But then it doesn't matter because he sees the TV and he sees that dude's ugly ass orange VW bus has intentionally rammed into an entire bus stop full of people.
Right.
Good Lord.
Right. All right.
And it's like, he's putting his coat on. He's like, I got to go. And she's like,
why?
What, did you know somebody there? He's like, yeah, I did. I got to go. Yeah, I knew him.
Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah. It's
what are you going to do? Put the people back together?
I guess.
She could do it better than you. She's a doctor.
This is all on. Oh, just it's an accident. It was an accident. Yes. I didn't mean to save that. I thought I was doing good. Oops. Now I know from now on. That's all I can do. What am I going
to
do?
Do you want to interrupt the first time you've been hard in a month?
Exactly.
I don't think that's a good idea, fella. No. It's a special moment.
But so he goes home and there is so much fucking computer research in this movie. The first one has it also, but like he goes home and he finds out that he looks up the names of all the people that the guy saved. Because it's like two other people or something, and then his wife and son.
Apparently, one of the people that the guy saved is, this is IMDb trivia, the woman at the end of the first White Noise that he saves, which I don't even remember.
He's a Carrie Wurz character.
Something like that.
I think she's in that movie.
But it's another character that he just sort of saves at some point in the movie, and it's like, oh, that's the connection to Michael Keaton, which no one would remember.
No. I disagree.
Right, you're saying it's a woman from the first movie is a name on that list?
Yes, but it's not Carrie Wurz.
Oh, it's not?
Or whomever. It's Deborah Kerr Unger, I believe.
Oh, is it Deborah Kerr? Two actresses are interchangeable. But either way, it's not that
it's just
woman.
Some
it's
other lady.
Person.
Yes, it's some other lady. Who cares? I just wanted to be clear.
Fucking stupid.
Wow.
But yeah, so they all freaked out and they all committed crime. And you see like what's going on. Like the old lady, you see like footage of her. Like she just like murdered her husband or something like that.
Yeah.
He deserved it.
I don't know. Mm-hmm.
And it's, he flashes back to the Henry Cain meeting and it's all this stuff about Jesus rose on the third day. Uh-huh. But this is great. It goes to Filion and he's talking to himself and he's like, well, Jesus rose on the third day, but what about the devil? What did he do on the third day? And I was like, what are we doing?
And
was Jesus evil on the third day?
I don't know. I don't
was
think
he walking
so.
Walking around like killing people? Fucked up a bus stop?
I don't know the adventures of Jesus after he came out of the cave. I don't know what we do.
Are you going to find out next year, buddy? Fucking buy your ticket now.
I can't wait for him to come back and tell us.
Oh, man.
Oh, no, I meant the resurrection of the Christ is coming.
Oh, yeah, I know. And then I could finally have a conversation with the gentleman. Maybe.
Oh, that's what the Mel Gibson movie is about?
It's called The Resurrection of
the
Christ.
Oh, I thought you meant that the Armageddon.
I thought you were making a world is ending because everything's terrible.
Oh, joke. No. Either way you want it.
Oh, the Mel Gibson one. Yeah, okay, cool.
Oh, it's called The Resurrection of the Christ.
And it's a two-part movie. I don't know how you get two parts out of fucking one day or whatever.
Well, see, the first movie you see.
You're rolling that stone back. It takes a while.
That's what it is. The first movie ends. The stone finally is rolled all the way back. Boom. Resurrection part two coming out.
Right.
So he's not resurrected until the end of the first movie. Scam, you see.
And that hand you see pushing the rock, wouldn't you believe it? It's Mel Gibson's hand.
Oh, cool.
That's the real one right there.
I am kind of curious to see.
Of course, everyone's going to see.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He does all this bullshit, Bible mumbo jumbo, Mark of the Beast 666, all that
bingo,
shit.
Bingo, bango.
Well, he's doing some numerology
there's some Zodiac cipher decoding going on.
Zodiac yeah, okay, killings. Man. I fucking listen to Iron Maiden 2. You don't got to fucking pretend like it's a big deal here.
The worst part of this movie is this flourish where on one side of the screen, it's Nathan Fillion's face, and on the other side, it's whoa. Henry Cain, and I'm like, whoa, what dude, are we doing?
That is a very hilarious shot, and that should only exist if the movie's trying to tell you Fillion's Abe character is being possessed by this dude.
Yes.
That's what those kinds of shots are for, like we're now sharing a psychology or something like that.
Well, presumably he could have had two near-death experiences now, this other guy. Maybe he does have the power to possess a little bit. Maybe that'd be something to do.
And you have to like stop him or something. That's kind of fun.
Literally anything, man. Yeah. Literally anything but reading things off computer screens, which again is 80% of this movie.
Oh, maybe this original, before they turned it into White Noise 2, maybe the original script was actually the three from Adaptation.
Oh, yes.
And it was the killer switching out. And they,
ooh, hell ooh, yeah.
It's me, but it's not me.
They're all the same person.
So it turns out now it has been 3 days since he saved Bridge Kid.
Yeah.
He gets Sherry to give this kid's info to him. He finds out he works at this hotel. This kid, by the way, I looked it up just to see like if he had done anything. We encountered this guy in previous episode, Russell Madness.
Oh,
he plays
boy.
The father of the young boy.
Congratulations.
In the
movie. Yeah. That's amazing.
Nice, nice yeah. work, buddy.
Congrats.
Absolutely. I think he's been in a couple of other Russell and fun dog movies.
That's another directed DVD staple. You know what I mean?
Dog movie.
Dog. Yeah. Yes, talking absolutely. Dog.
Like Air Bud and those kinds of things. Yes. I think yeah. this dude's
Santa,
also
the buddies.
Yeah,
buddies
Santa films. Buddies.
All that stuff.
Satan buddies.
Satan buddies.
It would stand to reason there should be a Satan buddies. There should be. Why a not? Bunch of dogs around Halloween getting yes. it on, you know.
Cerebus, it's done. It's all there.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That's a good dog. Good boy.
Three-headed cute little guy there, yeah, you know, guarding the entrance to hell. Why not? So he stops at the bus stop, like where the accident happened. There's still like it's kind of funny that the city has not gotten rid of this yet. There's just blood all over the place still. And he's sure. like, well, this must be it.
It's not like there's no tape around no, it. It's yeah. just there.
Yeah, there's
like,
no caution. There's nothing. It's just a destroyed
like,
bus stop.
I kind of want someone standing in the blood being like, the bus is still running. I just, this is my stop. This is how I get home from work.
It's the 12 limited. I know that the stop's covered in blood, but it is going to stop right here. It will be here.
I called the dispatch. They will be coming.
And when he stops, this is where he sees all the ghosts of the people that got killed yeah. here are like yelling at him and they're like, kill, kill, kill. Like,
what assholes, man.
I know.
Come on.
Like, what are you, salty because you got killed?
Yeah, like, exactly. You know. Like now everyone has to die because you're dead?
Also, maybe if you want them to do this revenge thing, maybe do it in kind of more like, avenge us, yes. help us, not
that'd
kill.
Be something, yeah.
You
that'd
know,
be
like,
better.
Yeah. Listen, ghost, you attract more flies with honey. Yeah,
maybe you start with a compliment. Or how about a hello? How are you doing?
Yeah.
I don't mean to frighten you in the middle of the night, yes,
but you know, you're not short at all anyway. Like, could you please help us?
A nice little spoonful of sugar. It doesn't
exactly.
hurt anybody.
Right. Not this piss and vinegar these ghosts are giving.
That's it.
So best sequence in the movie, we get to this hotel where this guy Kurt works yes. as a piano player in the lounge. The possessing freakout starts happening. You can see he's more aggressively pounding on the
yeah.
piano keys.
Down with the sickness.
He's really Richard cheesing it up. And you can see, like, these security guards, like, he's playing a little too loud there, is he not? Yes. Like, they go over and sort of stop him, and he, like, slams his fist down on the
all
keys.
Right. You don't need to go with Dave Brubeck's late stuff, okay? It's good enough.
Unfortunately, his work flirters are also working that day, and that's a tough one.
That's there. And so this dude, Kurt, like, pulls a gun out right here, and Abe gets to the hotel, and you can see, he can't see the people, but he can see the light sort yes. of hovering above. He's like, well, they must be up there with all that flashing white light.
That's
up.
A lot of flashing light. Fuck. Oh, boy.
Oh, fuck. That's at least three people up there. God damn it.
No.
This gets hilarious real fast.
It's so funny because they get up there. There's a whole struggle. This dude also just utters Trey Amara in this moment and then pushes himself off of this piano through the glass barricade. He goes down. Security guard goes down. Lady friend goes down. What's that Looney Tunes piano goes down? You just see all of these people crushed by a huge piano. Man, this is great.
It's a fucking great sequence.
Yeah, it rocks, dude. This is the most Final Destination-y this movie gets. It's so good.
It's even like it looks like Nathan Fillion saves the day. You're okay, kid. You're okay.
Yeah, because the guy Kurt doesn't go over.
Yes, because then he just does this thing, and then he says, "I don't think you should have saved me," which is kind of like
Like what?
I don't know. So you know
yes. that you're gonna kill people now because of you.
It's all my fault, apparently. Yeah. I think it's those fucking bullies' fault that were gonna kill you that
apparently, day. Apparently, those guys are fine. They're normal, totally decent people.
Can we go to fucking Club Molochor and get those guys down to a police station and see what they have to say about the incident, please? So yeah, this guy is like, I don't think you should save me now. Is this a thing I wished had happened in the movie, or does this actually happen? He grabs the gun back and kills himself?
No, he tries to grab the gun.
That's
Fillion's gun.
You get him, Kurt looks down and sees the girl, and it's just dead eyes, and then her mouth opens and the piano keys are in there. but other than that...
So he realized at this point, shit, man, according to the notches on my mirror, there's only one person left that I've saved that hasn't freaked out, and that is sexy Nurse Sherry. So we got to go.
And it's got to be 7:30 because I remember the time now, and it's exactly 3 days.
Yeah, oh, because the watch stopped at the point where the mugging happened or whatever.
Brilliant.
But dude, he does have an at-home freakout right here. Him smashing this mirror is pretty funny. Yeah. He's had enough to hear with these premonitions.
That's bad luck.
All right, that's it. Wife murderer, you got to help me. There is a woman I want to have sex with, but I also saved her. What am I supposed to do, wife murderer?
That is a pickle, isn't it, Treomera?
Meanwhile, and again, a guy who's doing the Lord's work, apparently, a serial killer guy is just picking up ladies and killing them all throughout Northern Canada. Nobody cares about that guy.
No. He's doing his own thing, man. Mm-hmm.
Him and the Droogies, that might be a new Suicide Squad.
Oh, the four
right
of them,
there, they're all together.
This is where we get some shit kind of straight out of Peter Jackson's The Frighteners. Fillion's driving the car here. And then, oh my God, a guy on a bike, but it's the ghost guy and he goes through the car.
Yeah.
And again, turns around and gives him a real nasty fuck you look.
These fucking ghosts, you need an attitude adjustment.
I agree. It's not my fault.
Eternity, you're going to look like that?
Seriously.
Well, how about some Serenity? You know what I mean?
Thank you. Exactly. Yes. Let's put that movie on and relax.
Even see my space smugglers and relax.
Even that, like, enjoy, like in The Frighteners, they look grotesque, but they've come to terms with it. They know who they are. They ain't got a problem with it.
Because if something's forever, you're going to be used to it pretty quick.
Yeah. Know?
That movie's so fun.
I love that movie.
Still never seen it.
Oh, really? Oh, it's really worth it.
You should do that eventually.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It would be kind of like a right down the middle. It doesn't matter what feed it's on title, but it's a fun one.
I love that movie.
It's a good one. So Abe shows up at the school where the big recital's happening that night, and we go in, and all of these ghosts are appearing in front of you. You're going to go kill her, right? You're going to kill her, right? But you're going to the school to kill her, right?
The kids are playing Rush because this movie was filmed in Canada. And
was that a real discount?
Yeah, you got a real discount in Canada.
Geddy Lee was like, no, it's free, man. It's cool. Canadian production, it's totally free.
Can I see a birth certificate? Oh, yeah. You're good to go, brother.
He sees the little red girl ghost.
P.U. Not allowed. Because it's the same thing. She's like skittering around.
Uh-huh. But what is this, though? Is this who is this the ghost of?
It's
the
Schindler's List girl.
No, it's just when he's walking on the street, he sees a little girl in a red slicker.
Yeah.
And the light is on.
The ghost of that.
Yeah, so it's just like
she eventually died. He decided not to save the young
child. So you're damned if you do, if you're damned if you don't. These fucking assholes are up my ass no matter what.
Exactly. Why is this? Wait a second, though. But like,
she's a nosy little precocious kid now, right?
But why is she not just fucking blue and gray like the rest of them? Why is the slicker still red?
So you remember her.
Because Adult Look Now is a good movie, understand. It's 1970s.
But then they all should be, like, the bicycle messenger should just look like the guy. You know, that's
right.
Fucking
you're right.
Bullshit,
it is more Schindler's List-y than not, Eric.
A weird choice.
I mean, you know, what, is 94?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, I don't know. I was thinking Schindler's List the entire time seeing this girl in the red.
It could be a reference to either thing or neither movie, as a matter of fact.
You shouldn't do it.
I agree. I fully agree.
With you.
How about a yellow slicker?
That's more common anyway.
Easy peasy.
But so he makes a scene here. He gets kicked out of the school immediately because he starts getting rough with Katie Sackhoff. Yes. Like, you got to listen to me. You're in danger, blah, blah, blah. And she freaks out. And then, like, these two buff dudes, I guess it's like school security or whatever, Jazzy Jeff this motherfucker right out of the school.
Well, no, they've been like eyeing Katie Sackhoff for a while. And they're man, this guy's getting rough with her.
Oh, no, he's harassing the widow Carruthers. She was mine. Get over here. Or whatever her fucking name is in this movie. But yeah, so like he's getting kicked out and then he sees all these ghosts that get like on a receiving line. Yeah, like, all will die, all may die, whatever.
And then he's driving around and notices he's following her, stalking her, obviously.
He gets into stalker mode right here, definitely.
He's going to follow her and kill her or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh no, 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 no. She's going into the Blood Diner.
Yeah, totally. Here we go back to Blood Diner.
It'd be great if he even was like, that place is still open.
I would have said health code violations.
Yeah, fuck, specials?
It's only been 3 months. They really cleaned up my family's murder scene nicely.
And this, I cannot believe it's the same waitress. It's crazy.
That's so funny. I didn't even notice that detail. Oh, my God. It's great. But, yeah, so, like, Abe then now sees the white light on himself, and he's like, oh, fucking finally, I will be dead. And she's already put together what's going on, and she's like, okay, I'm the only one left that you saved. I get it now. Mm-hmm. She, you know, she forgives him and everything and accepts this without them having a conversation about what's going on, which is annoying.
Yeah.
She has just sat at this diner and figured it out really quickly.
And then he just
like disco fries immediately. Immediately.
Yeah. Honestly, if you're going, you might as well.
Extra gravy.
And then he just pulls out a gun because he's going to like murder her right there.
Yep.
And then the waitress is like, that guy's got a gun.
Again.
And then two cops that are eating there stand up and like, sir. You know, that whole
thing. Yeah. And he just goes, you have to die. And he goes to shoot her and they shoot the shit out of him. Mm-hmm. He goes down and there it's so funny because he goes down. She drops down with him. They have this whole long moment. They're having exchanges back and forth and back and forth. And I was like, the cops that just blew this guy away are like 3 feet over there. Mm-hmm. It takes them they have a whole scene and then the cop runs over like, hey, lady, it's all right. Get out. And I was like, what, did you go to the bathroom before you checked in on this?
Ma'am, you're not supposed to make out with the corpse. We frown upon that.
It's a crime scene now, sweetheart.
And then, like, this end thing with the ambulance is the craziest fucking thing I've ever seen.
It's fucking insanity. So, like, it turns 7:30. She's still alive. Him being killed has not mattered. That hasn't like broken the line or anything like that. She starts like having the freak out in the ambulance, I think is the idea.
And this is the worst ambulance driver. I think what they teach
you. Watch the road, man.
Exactly. Like, it's like whatever's going on in the back, you as the ambulance driver, your job is just to keep your eyes on the road and go to the hospital.
Yes, precisely.
Because he's like, what's the ruckus back there? I'm like, fucking eyes forward,
and
asshole.
Then, my chuckle, man.
Then like Nathan Fillion as a ghost comes in and starts like ghost murdering her.
Well, he goes through the power line, you understand.
Right.
Where, like,
okay.
EVP.
Yeah, he's electric gremlin.
It's very electric gremlin in this moment. You're totally right.
And he appears there to like stop her heart through his hand or something.
Yes, which apparently a ghost can do.
Okay,
I guess. So, it's like I thought it was like a calming her down to stop the freak out or whatever.
I thought he was
killing
her.
I have no idea. Okay. I have no idea.
So as he calms her down slash kills her, then he teleports in front of the ambulance, right, to prevent it, from hitting a flammable truck,
so
but then
it
flips?
Swerves. Yeah.
There's also there's a bus next to a flammable truck.
There's two guys moving a plate of glass.
There's a woman with a baby carriage crossing the street.
Yeah. It was just cans.
It's very clear what's about to happen.
Exactly.
And again, this guy keeps being like, what is going on back there? I'm like, dude, stop it.
He has done, I think I just recognize in my notes what you're talking about with killing her. He does, you're right, he does a straight up force pushes her soul out of the body.
Which is
But it's like nicer because she sees her boyfriend or her husband or whatever. Like,
and then he's
home.
Like, damn it. Fuck. Son of a bitch. I was hoping he'd be downstairs.
Are you guys open at all?
But yes, and then he goes in front of the ambulance. The ambulance swerves.
So it hits neither thing and doesn't cause the explosion that would kill the people in the bus.
And then all of our ghost friends are there to wish him a good job well done.
Job well dead.
It's like a fucking round of applause. Thanks for whatever. I mean, we're already ghosts, so whatever.
Welcome to Limbo. We're going to be here forever.
Hope you like the outfit you were buried in, because that's it.
That's a pretty good Trey Amara. All right. All right.
And then it just ends with Fillion getting zipped up in this body bag, a shot that's so awkward because it doesn't even look like Nathan Fillion.
Yeah.
I had to pause it. I was like, who is this person now?
Well, when you die, you look a little different.
And then he goes up to heaven, right? Or he sees his family again, right? Is he with them? Did I miss that?
He gets dragged to hell by demons.
You just see him getting wrapped up in the body bag, and then it goes to Henry Caine at the loony bin. Yeah.
The Henry Caine callback, nobody cares.
No.
And he just gets attacked by a bunch of ghosts, and that's the end of the movie. Yep.
Because also, like, we realize, not to be whatever, but Henry Caine was a hero for murdering that woman and boy, because they would have killed everyone in the diner. So, like, why does he deserve to have punishment?
It doesn't make any sense. Because the devil, you know, 666 and the signature of the beast and whatnot.
Just mean from the movie's perspective.
Like, it doesn't know.
No. Makes sense. No, that's not
it. Has absolutely no idea what's going on, man. You're right. It's funny that you brought that up, though. There is no. He's reunited with the family. There's absolutely none of that. Yeah. He's zipped up in a body bag, and that's the end of the movie for him.
I'm just thinking, like, he'd the suicide attempt, and then he's saved by the friend. Shouldn't he go crazy in 3 days and kill? I guess he goes studying this stuff. He goes nuts and starts trying to kill people because of the saving thing.
Well, Marty doesn't have the gift. I think the saving thing is only happening if you use the cheat code of being able to see the light.
I just don't know if that makes a ton of sense.
That doesn't hold water.
White Noise 2, it doesn't hold water, huh? It
doesn't hold holy water.
That is the end of this movie. We'll go around the horn for some final thoughts. Mr. Siska.
It's a good time. No, get the lads together. When was the last time you hung out with your blokes?
You got to see the lads.
Get some beers the whatever else. And I feel like this would be a fun group experience. I never heard of this before. I was surprised by the actors in it.
Yeah,
I did. You know that they were people I would recognize.
Right,
it's very surprising.
Not often the case in these direct to DVD sequels.
And it's pretty fun in terms of the stupidness of it, how in your face it is with it.
Yeah,
I actually had a pretty good time with it. I don't know.
There you go, Chris Cabin.
No, but a very mild no, because I just found this so boring. And maybe if I had seen the first one, I'd be a little bit like, oh, well, at least this is better than, or this is worse than, or I'd have something to really have in my mind, something to play with. But for most of this, I was like, wait, that doesn't make any sense. To what Eric's saying, I prefer more outrageous stuff when I'm looking for a bloke's night out. I want, sure. I'm more what's the Hulk Hogan movie with the Dookie.
No Holds Barred.
Stuff like that is more what I feel when you have the lads over and you're gonna really make fun of something big like that. This I just was kind of like,
well,
okay,
it's, my mates would love it.
Your mates.
I am Eric's mate. Yeah, I did kind of have fun with it. I'm with Eric on this, actually. Like, I think it's just stupid enough. I'm actually glad it's not another, even though it doesn't make sense to be called White Noise and it abandons everything it should be. I'm glad it goes this final destination-y direction. I kind of wish they got there earlier because I don't mind a Final Destination knockoff. Like, that's kind of fun. Like, those sequences, like the piano sequence and the Suicide by Cop, are pretty good. I kind of want to see that bus go into him drive into that bus, that old fucker.
Yeah.
I want to see that old fucker do it anyway. Yeah. But yeah, it's mostly fun, and I like Nathan Fillion and Katie Sackhoff. I agree that very sloggy at parts with the fucking research, but it's a light recommend in that, like, let's have a couple beers and watch a bad movie kind of a deal.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm probably like somewhere in the middle of Chris and the two of you guys. And I think the reason is, here's my thing. You know this is direct to DVD. Mm-hmm. This is just going right from the fucking film canister to the Best Buy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There is no theatrical stop along the way.
Straight to 480p.
Exactly. Yeah. But why then does your sequel to a horror movie have to pull so many punches? Yeah. I should see the fucking bus demolish.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, the VW bus demolish those people. I should see a gooier version of the piano accident. Like, that stuff should be there. Make it that kind of a fun thing. And it trips over its obsession with, like, going back to, like, the grief of losing your loved ones and the afterlife and all that other fucking donkey shit that's, like, those movies exist and those movies are fine, but, like, if you're making me start thinking about Final Destination as much as I was watching this movie, I need Final Destination-esque action,
for sure,
and it fails at that. Mm-hmm. Although I do think Fillion and Sackhoff are great. I think that both of them, they have good chemistry, and they're interesting to watch together, so that's fine. And like I said, like that is the rare thing in these direct-to-DVD sequels of like, oh, that's a person that's actually been in things, and not just some noble Canadian making their cinematic debut. So, you know, do with that what you will, but that is going to do it for White Noise 2, Call in the Light. Thanks again to Luis from Tucson.
Thank you.
For requesting that guy. Yeah. If you want more We Hate Movies, of course, check out our Patreon, y'all, patreon.com/WeHateMovies, where you can get episodes just like this one, except commercial-free. Mm-hmm. No advertisements on them whatsoever. This month, of course, being Listener Request Month, that has spilled over into a lot of these selections. We had a WLM on Clerks, which was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. We had some sort of anime cartoon that was requested.
Delicious in Dungeon.
That's right.
Which is a lot of fun about some Netflix anime that apparently people like, and we'll find out when we actually do it, but it's already out for you to hear.
You've already had a good time with it. We have yet to watch it at the time of this recording.
Because we're go.
EVP, Electric Voice Podcast.
This is the anime I forged in life.
Tell your friends.
Ghost Tornado.
And then, of course, we talked about a real mass murderer on the Glebe Glossary.
That's right. The Ten Garnet, I think his name is. He's the Death Star gunner. Blew up Alderaan, and I'm sure he had other wonderful, colorful adventures you will have heard or will hear on the Glebe Glossary.
And then if you're listening to this on the day it comes out, which is indeed the 24th of March, just 2 days later this week, Thursday on the 26th, we do have The Nexus dropping. That was listener requested. Also, we have Akira-centric DS9 and a very awesome Picard-centric TNG to go through there as well. And of course, last week, if you also missed it or you're catching up, just a reminder, we had a rocking bonus We Love Movies episode on the film Joyride, John Dahl's Joyride. We were talking about that with Matt and Tyler from Radio Silence. That was a lot of fun. Get them buns to the theater to see that movie. We did an opening weekend. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. And speaking of fucking gooey explosions that I love seeing.
Yes.
Oh, we also had a Melrose 210, Chris Cameron.
We did indeed. A two-part Melrose Place. Mary Poppins is in prison now.
Thank God.
Hopefully.
Throw away the key.
Kill her.
But we are hopefully taking a little break from baby kidnapping, getting back to normal, you know, betrayals and almost killings in Mouse Place as we like to.
The good stuff.
That's always
the good stuff. Also, by the way, back on Friday the 13th, we did release into the Patreon shop the video show we did a couple years, 3 years ago now almost, on Friday the 13th, The Final Chapter. You can get that when you buy that. It's video and audio format, so check that out in the shop as well. And we have, because it's crazy, it is it's a 5 Tuesday March, which I feel like we haven't had in a while, but that means one delicious week left of Listener Request Month. Steve, what are we talking about?
It is time for Justin Timberlake and his hot mother in Time.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
All right.
It is. Okay. I believe, I don't know, I think it was maybe just me and you, Chris Cabin. We did an Astoria watch of this. I watched it in that Astoria apartment with somebody.
Oh, yeah.
I did not see this movie.
I watched this a couple years ago with my wife, just on bad movie night like you do. And I've been trying to get this on the schedule ever since. And it kind of gets kicked around for different things, which happens a lot on this show.
Yes.
Yeah. But I'm so glad that whomever called it in, we will find out next week.
Nice. Maybe we did watch it. I just don't remember.
There's a lot of that.
Because I definitely have a memory of like sitting through this at that old apartment in the living room. Like, so maybe I just dropped by. Maybe nobody else was there. I don't know.
you're the Kramer of that apartment.
I guess so. It's crazy. But yes, next week we are talking about In Time with Mr. Timberlake. Until then, I've been Andrew Jupin.
Steven Zadak.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
Take it easy.